Back together again, you and I chatting it up, Thursday style, February 5th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. I open the show with my thoughts on a proposal from state Senate Democrats to prevent local and federal law enforcement officers from wearing any face masks while on duty. Former state Senate Republican leader John McKinney dropped by to offer his thoughts on Governor Ned Lamont's State of the State address on Wednesday, and CBS News White House reporter Willie James Inman briefed us on an anticipated reboot of sorts for some aspects of immigration enforcement from the Trump administration.
So sometimes you look at something and you say, you know, you read something, you look at something and you say, okay, well, what's the point of this? In fact, I would advise anybody listening to me, no matter what side of whatever argument you're on, or whether it's a state issue, a local issue, a national issue, you say, the first question I've kind of trained myself to ask over the years is what's the purpose of this? Is this put forward by thinking human beings? I know, oftentimes it isn't, but what is the purpose of this? And coming off yesterday, and I want to call it a State of the State address by Governor Ned Lamont, which I guess it was, but it was a left-leaning, progressive-appealing campaign speech, which is fine. He's running for office again. I get it. With language in there about ICE that, to me, was completely unnecessary, coming not as a statesman should. Statesmen or stateswomen, when there are times of hot rhetoric, somebody who was serious about cooling the rhetoric, they would. But apparently the governor wasn't yesterday, and he was buying in to the leftist nutcases in his own party and telling ICE to get out of Connecticut, whatever. And listen, people knew, you heard that, you knew what it was, kowtowing to the far left of the party. So I'm sitting here and I'm saying, okay, well, what's the next step going to be? And I see this, and this doesn't surprise me at all, but the question I ask is why? What's the purpose of this? And this is the following story today in Hearst, Jordan Nathaniel Fenster's story, a ban on masked law enforcement interactions in Connecticut is proposed by state Senate Democrats. Okay. Law enforcement agents, both federal and state, would largely be barred from wearing masks while interacting with the public in Connecticut under a proposal put forth by the state's Senate Democratic leadership. Okay, well, why? And I know why. This is to get some, I mean, this is obviously to get some more check marks on the board against ICE. But what exactly does this do for the scenario of illegal immigration and going after dangerous criminals there, many of whom may be illegal? What's the point of this? Now, we know what the point of it is, but I'm asking somebody to explain this. State Senate President Pro Tem Martin Looney of New Haven, Senate Majority Leader Bob Duff of Norwalk, there you are, the two guys that are like those two Muppet characters, Stadler and Waldorf, outlining a series of ideas in a recent letter to the co-chairs of the Judiciary Committee. If passed, the bill would place limits on the actions of federal and out-of-state law enforcement agents within Connecticut and provide protections and legal recourse to members of the public. Bob Duff said these ICE agents are not living up to what is and what has always been our culture, which is to have law enforcement be open and transparent in serving the people. He said there was no accountability, and it seems like they are only answerable to one person. And there's his gratuitous shot at Trump. It's what Bob Duff does. I get it. I understand it. It's part of the shtick. But I ask this question. In the realm of the fact that we do have illegals in the state, and some of them are criminals, many of them are not, what is the actual difference as to whether an ICE agent is masked or unmasked? In other words, I know what you're going to say. Well, people can see who they're interacting with. Well, okay, I guess. But what does that have to do part and parcel of the fact that ICE is trying to do a job, albeit they've made some mistakes. I get it. And the other thing is this. Do you know what doxing is? D-O-X-I-N-G. Do you know what doxing is? That is when you take images or information about someone, whether it's a big Hollywood star or whatever, somebody you don't like, and you put it online to have people harass them. Now, it generally doesn't happen with local law enforcement. And the reason they're putting local law enforcement in this bill or the language of the bill is to say, see, we're not just going after ICE. Stop the shenanigans. You're going after ICE. And listen, I'm not against policing ICE and making sure they do a good job. But again, what does this have to do with the fact that ICE already operates in this state and they've been operating in this state for, I guess, years, going back 15, 20 years? And now the idea is unmasking the agents is going to solve what exactly? Explain that to me. In the day-to-day opera, I'm not talking about, well, I want to see who's arresting me or whatever. In the day-to-day operation of ICE around the U.S. and even here in Connecticut, what does preventing them from wearing a mask do? Except maybe to put them and their families in danger. Should an ICE agent, the guys, I guess there are some female agents, I'll say gals, shouldn't the guys and gals of ICE be protected from having their photo taken and then being put online and find, oh, there's where he lives. We know where his kids are. We know where he lives. Should there be no protection against that? I don't know. I don't get it. Among the proposals are a ban on face coverings with some exceptions. A ban on armed military forces from another state entering Connecticut without the governor's permission. All right, that you could convince me of. Requiring a warrant when a civil arrest occurs in hospitals, homeless shelters, and other protected areas. Okay, I've got all that. But this whole thing about ICE can't wear masks. Why? I mean, I know what you're going to say. Well, we should see them. But what difference does that make? Do you think somebody, an ICE agent who is unmasked, are they suddenly not going to do their jobs? I don't think so. Are we in a scenario here where if an agent is unmasked, that prevents what, fake ICE agents? I mean, I don't quite understand this. Help me out here. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. I mean, everybody is around and around and going crazy about, well, the agents wear masks. Well, there's a reason. There's a reason because they don't want some of the psychos, like you see in Minneapolis, going after them and their families. But again, I ask, I know what you're going to say. Well, we want to see their faces. Okay, if you see their faces, what difference does it make? See, again, this is the kind of thing where we don't want to confront the problem. We nibble and crumble around the edges, and we don't want to confront the actual problem here. Is that you have some states like Connecticut and some cities and towns that don't honor ICE detainers. Some do, some don't. In about two-thirds of the country, this isn't a problem. So a lot of folks want to chime in on this already. Hey, I mean, my question is simple. What difference is this going to make? And we start off with this question at 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Simple question here. Should federal and local law enforcement agents be banned from wearing masks while interacting with the public in Connecticut? Simple question. What do you think? You want to put that in place? Fine. My question is, what's the difference? See, usually there's a cause and effect thing. Well, you know, something happened, so we have to change things. Well, what exactly happened? Except for the fact that you've got agents and their families getting doxxed now. Let me ask you something. If your son or husband was an ICE agent, would you want their face available to be put online? I'm just a question. Because, again, my question here is, how is this going to, by eliminating the face coverings, what exactly does that do? You know, the federal law enforcement people, they should not have face covering. I said, why not? You want their face out there so then people can dox them and run them through software and find out where they are? Well, you know, they should be. Okay, and how does this help the situation? See, this is my point. This is what we do here in Connecticut. We avoid the actual problem that we have 125,000 illegals in the state, many of whom, the vast majority of whom, are not criminals. I'm not saying they are. But we have a wonderful way in Connecticut of tiptoeing, of doing Twister, not to actually step on the actual issue. So the Democrats, and this will probably pass. Listen, the Democrats in Hartford, they've got the veto-proof majorities in the state House or state Senate. Now, it's interesting. I wonder if Governor Lamont was faced with this bill, whether he would sign it or not. I don't know. Because he sure didn't sound convinced by what he said yesterday. Before we go to the news, Carlos in Bridgeport kicks it off today. Carlos, you're first up. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good.
What's
I
up, Carlos?
I think doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
I heard on the news that somebody brought their kids, and they ended up getting gassed or smokes or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What is this, a public hanging? What are these people doing?
Yeah,
Why are you bringing your kids to a like that?
Carlos, and if you're that bent on going to the protest, then put your kid with somebody. Your sister, your mother, somebody like that. A seven-year-old kid.
Put them far back enough where they can maybe see it, but they're not going to be right up there where they're going to get hit with something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, Carlos, I mean, would you? I don't know whether you have any kids. I have a son. There's no way I would have bought my son to a protest at seven.
No. It's ridiculous. They could see it on TV.
Yeah.
They could see it on the internet.
Yeah.
They don't have to be right there.
Yeah. So, Carlos.
You're right. There are a lot. You know, I worked in the kitchen all my life in a lot of different states.
Yeah.
There is a lot of illegals everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Everywhere. And they are.
And like you said, they're not all bad people.
No.
But you know what? They still crossed over here.
Well, again, and that is, and Carlos, thank you for the call, my friend. Appreciate it there. Carlos in Bridgeport, first time from hearing him. Yes. The vast majority of people that are in that category are probably fine. We know that. But again, well, we're not going to have the feds wear masks. Okay, but what does that do for the overall issue? Yeah, you feel real good. You can puff your chest out at your constituents there. But how does that solve the problem? How does that solve the issue at hand? Pete Milford's here. Pete, how are you, sir? What's up?
How you been, Paul?
I'm good, Pete. How you been?
All right. Haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah,
I think not only what you said is, and it's a really good probable cause. Yeah, they don't want to be identified and be stalked by nutcases. But I think also, too, you're dealing with illegal aliens. A lot of them have chicken pox and stuff like that. They use the face mask for medical, you know, protection, too, because, you know, they might get an bodily fluids might pass, you know?
Yeah, and
spitting or...
Yeah, and Pete, thank you. Appreciate it. I'm sure that's probably some of it. Or, it'd be good to hear from you again. It's been a while, like you said. Listen, they don't want their full face out there. I'm sure because they know that they're dealing with some illegals who may be involved in gangs. But you know what? Even more than the illegals, you know who I would fear? These mostly white left-wing nut jobs like you see in Minneapolis. Like I say, love the Twin Cities, but come on. Minneapolis is a fishbowl of crazy.
And a guy who's been on this radio station going back a couple of decades, not nearly 100 years, but that we always like to hear from former Republican state Senate leader John McKinney of Fairfield. You can catch John with our other buddies there, including Tom Dudchick on the Capitol Report Sunday mornings in the AM, 10 a.m. on News 8. Hey, John, it's Paul. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well, Paul. Thank you very much. Nice to speak with you.
Have you recovered from the speech yesterday, John? You know, I said to myself watching it, and I want to know if you thought this too. I said, okay, he's probably going to make a mention of ICE. You know, the far left of his party would go nuts if he didn't. He did the Thomas Paine thing at the beginning, but boy, in the end, John, you know, when I had some listeners here call up, John, who watched the governor like you do, and they said, wow, where did that come from? Did you have that thought or not?
No, I thought he would mention ICE. I think what surprised everyone is, you know, Governor Lamont is a very measured person. And, you know, obviously his hallmark has been fiscal stability, keeping our guardrails, making sure Connecticut pays off its debt. And I've always told people, those aren't topics you can really get emotional and excited about. But I think what some people don't remember is that, you know, Ned Lamont burst onto the political scene in Connecticut when he ran against Joe Lieberman for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate. And his main issue was he was opposed to the Iraq War. He was very passionate in his opposition to Joe Lieberman's support for the war. And so I think we saw, you know, when Ned Lamont is really passionate about those types of issues, he's not afraid to show that passion. And I think he did with that line regarding ICE. I also think, Paul, though, that obviously that was going to be the line that got most of the attention. But I'm not sure, and it will be interesting to see if reporters or if you're lucky to get them on, if they press the question is what really did he mean when he said, you know, for ICE to go home, we're keeping Connecticut safe without you? Because the line before that, he says, everywhere ICE goes uninvited. So I think people are assuming he doesn't want to let ICE anywhere in Connecticut. I'm not so sure about that because he used the word uninvited. And I think he was specifically referring to what people are seeing, you know, on the news and on social media happening in Minneapolis. You know, the question for him would be if there is someone with an ICE detainer who's here illegally, who's committed a crime, who's being released from a jail in Connecticut, can ICE come get that person? And I think he would probably answer yes to that question.
Yeah, and John, it's interesting. What I said when I heard that yesterday, and obviously, as you say, he was emotional. John, I've always thought that the hallmark of a good leader, especially somebody like Governor Lamont, who you say is usually measured, would be to say something like, look, we see what's going on in Minneapolis and other cities right now. And it's a passionate issue. I know not everybody agrees on this issue, but I will do my level best to make sure we're not caught off guard, you know, yada, yada, yada. Kind of the thing, John, where I say the great statesmen and women, right, and you've seen this over your years, they step back and they say, well, yeah, I know I won 55% of the vote, but I didn't win 45%. I didn't win the other 45%. So how do I frame an issue like that? That I'm not looking at the other 45% to say, well, the heck with what I think about you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand that. And I think, you know, I spoke to him after the speech, but we didn't talk specifically about what was behind that statement. I think, you know, partly he's just truly passionate about it. And the other thing, and maybe I'm a little cynical sometimes, he is running for reelection.
Sure.
And he does have a more socialist Democrat, Josh Elliott, who's trying to primary him. This is obviously a very, you know, divided issue where the core of the Democratic Party feels very strongly one way and the core of the Republican Party very strongly the other way. So that may have played a role in how he, you know, sort of brought that line out. But generally, I think you're right. I would think Ned Lamont is more the type of guy who's going to come out and say, listen, you know, we need cooler heads to prevail here, and we need to find solutions rather than what we're seeing on the TV.
And you know, I was told, I think it was by Dan Haar or somebody else I had on here, that now that the governor is running for a third four-year term, John, the guest, by the way, is John McKinney, you know, I guess from what I hear, he's got a little bit of a younger staff here, which would make sense. I mean, the governor is in his early 70s, and you know how campaigns turn over. And you know, John, I just wonder, everybody is kind of poo-pooing Josh Elliott here. Very visible guy, but he hasn't even broken 100 grand or something. Well, you know what, John? They poo-pooed Zoran Mamdani, too. I mean, remember, like, at 2 years, Mamdani? I mean, this guy, backbencher, backbencher in the New York Assembly who's never had a real job. And, you know, John, I just wonder if Josh Elliott were to get this to a primary. I don't know, man. I just wonder, maybe that wouldn't happen, but I wonder if there's any concern at all, John, in the governor's camp around about that.
I don't think there is. I don't. Okay. I personally don't think Josh Elliott will get to a primary, at least at the convention. He would then have to go get petitions, which is very hard to do. But I still think the governor is very strong. You know, I have my youngest lives in New York City, and she was telling me that running up to months before the Democratic mayoral primary, that, you know, all of these kids in their 20s were just seeing TikToks and social media and Instagram and all these other posts about Zoran Mamdani. So I don't see Josh Elliott being able to penetrate enough within the Democratic Party like Zohan was able to do there in New York City.
Yeah, and John, my son and his partner live in New York City, both young, both upwardly mobile, late 20s, early 30s, and yeah, the same thing. I mean, he told me he would get these, you know, Mamdani videos all day, and that was the core that propelled him. But what does that say, John, about campaigning now? In the future, I guess leaflets and pamphlets don't matter anymore, John. What do you think?
No, they aren't. even in local elections, you know, you can see the influence of the social media campaign and the really, you know, unfortunately for an old guy like me who likes picking up the newspaper, right? The less importance that mail has. Because people just consider junk mail and especially newspapers. So it is a different world, that's for sure.
John, finally, anything, I mean, there were really no oh wow moments, I thought, yesterday. Now, the $200 and the $400, hey, we're going to pay your electric bill, you know, for a month or two. Okay, that's nice. That was leaked a couple of days earlier. But as far as other stuff, John, listen, and he made, as many people were surprised at the ICE thing, he relied on his economic stability message there. So nothing really that I saw that was like an oh wow moment. How about you?
No, very steady hand. Not, you know, this is the second year of the state budget, so they have a state budget. As governor, you want to make as few tweaks to it as possible. The legislature is another subject. He did announce a couple of smaller programs, which I think will have a big impact, especially places next door like Bridgeport, where he's going to put some money in for free breakfast for public school kids. Because that's really important, as you know, reduced lunches. But I think the rebate is going to be a very interesting topic. You know, when I first ran in 1998, John Rowland and the legislature did a rebate.
Yes.
My first year in the legislature, they did another rebate. And really, and Dan Malloy proposed one, and then he didn't do it because our revenues fell.
Yeah.
What the rebate is that the Democrats see surpluses. They want to have new programs, spend more money. The Republicans say, well, we have a surplus, which means we're overtaxing. Let's cut taxes.
Yeah.
Both of those are built into the budget years going forward. So the rebate was always a political compromise. How do we help people make Connecticut a little bit more affordable? But it's only a one-year expenditure. It's not digging into the budget year after year after year. I'm not sure it's going to happen, but we've seen this before. A Republican governor wanted to do it. A Democrat governor wanted to do it. So it's not anything new, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
John McKinney, catch him and our buddy Tom Dudzik and Joe Arasimowitz and Liz and everybody on the Capitol Report, Connecticut Capitol Report, Sunday mornings at 10 on News 8. John, good to chat with you. We'll chat down the road, sir. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Paul. Always great talking to you.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Former Fairfield County Republican State Senator and State Senate leader in Hartford, John McKinney. A proposal by State Senate Democrats to outlaw federal agents in Connecticut from wearing masks. We will talk about that, but part of this has a reflection on what's going on in D.C. CBS White House reporter Willie James Inman joining us right now. Willie, good afternoon. It's Paul here in Connecticut. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon to you. Doing okay. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Willie. Appreciate the time. Know you're busy. And I guess what the White House is trying to soften the tone here a little bit on immigration. They sent Tom Homan out there. He says we're still going to get the job done. But I was kind of surprised to hear some of what President Trump said the other day. What's the latest on this now, Willie?
Yeah, that's right. And this was a part of that was in an NBC News interview that the president did in part that will air on the Super Bowl this weekend. Mm-hmm. NBC, of course, is broadcasting the Super Bowl. And he was essentially asked about what he learned about the situation in Minnesota. And part of his response, he said that the administration could perhaps take a softer approach, but that they still need to be tough. Now, in terms of the softer approach, the president said that he, of course, approved the withdrawal of some 700 federal agents from Minnesota streets. We, of course, know that there is still a significant presence in Minnesota and Minneapolis in large part. And Tom Homan is leading that operation now. A shift and change in tactics coming from this White House following the deaths, mm-hmm. of two Americans. So the president seems to be toning things down in large part because he says that local officials, including the governor of Minnesota and the mayor of Minneapolis, are not only speaking to the administration, but working with the administration, although local officials contend that they've already been cooperating in some ways. But in large part, this is certainly a change in tactic and tone coming from this White House. Yeah. Amid all that's going on there in Minnesota.
Hey, Willie, finally, do you get the sense, you guys and gals in the press pool on a daily basis, mm-hmm. is it, cause, and obviously there's a photo of Tom Homan getting his award years ago by former President Obama. Is there a sense, Willie, that Tom Homan is kind of the adult in the room in here on some of this? Is he kind of a calming influence on this? Does he have the president's ear? What is known about that?
Well, I think in large part, Homan wasn't necessarily involved at first directly with a lot of what's going on in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. In fact, he was on CBS News a couple of weeks ago, and he was asked about the situation on the ground. And he took a minute, and he took a beat. He didn't really necessarily, I guess, address mm-hmm. Some of the things that were going on, but he was measured in his response, is mm-hmm. what I mean to say. And I think the president, in looking at this situation, certainly some things were done, some mistakes were made. He still expresses confidence in Kristi Noem, but clearly putting Tom Homan in charge of this operation shows that the president has not only confidence in Noem, but a lot of confidence in Homan to lead this operation and to maybe tone things down a bit in light of what we've seen go on in the past couple of weeks.
All right, Willie James Inman, CBS News. Willie, thank you. Stay safe, and we'll chat down the road. Appreciate the time,
All
sir.
Right.
Thanks, Willie.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. All right, Willie James Inman there.